Dave, thanks so much. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. And our guest is Dane Neal. He's the host of On the Road with Dane Neal. And to prove that he lives up to his name, he is currently on the road. Dane, where are you?
I'm walking the walk, Bill. I'm walking the walk here at the World Center of Racing, Daytona International Speedway, in advance of the Great American Race, the Daytona 500 coming up.
And when is that coming up?
It's going to be Sunday. So Sunday, I think, 2:30. And I think it's going to be on Fox for all you people that want to get out there and watch. But there's a lot of cool stuff happening before that. And on Saturday, we'll certainly have a bunch of stuff previewing it, some of the great drivers, and a lot of cool storylines leading up to the race.
Is it?
But I know. Oh, go on.
No, I was just going to ask you if it's pit row or pit road. Because I know, ooh, I hear people say both things. And that is the area, what is that even?
Well, okay, so, you know, when your team has to come in and get more gas or more tires or do some things like that, you'll head to pit road, and that's where all the pit stalls are and the pit boxes, and that's where each team has kind of a little home base so they can come in and get gas and do everything that they need to. And that road will be pit road, and then pit row, I guess you could say that's pit road too, is where all the different teams are located, and then the road is the road in front of it that you travel to get there.
All right, so it's both.
It could be both,
yeah.
I guess. Yeah?
Yeah,
and who's the favorite to win on Sunday?
You know what? It's hard to say because people can come sort of out of nowhere. I would say, you know, if I had to pick one, it'll be, you know, you're looking at maybe as, you know, like Kurt Busch could do it with the new teams, with the Chip Ganassi team now driving the number one car. That's kind of a, no pun intended, chip on his shoulder after leaving Stuart Haas, right? He's won it 2 years ago. I was actually here when he did that. So I would put him as one of those potential favorites. And Bubba Wallace is a guy, too. This is the driver came in driving for Richard Petty that ended up getting second in his rookie season. And this is would be a great place for him to get out there and kind of finish the deal. But I know that, you know, for there's a lot of race fans that love, you know, the action's going to happen on the track because this is the time of love, the time period of love where love's all around us.
I knew you'd get romantic on us. You'd get so romantic. I just have to ask you, like, as you look at the year of auto racing, would you put the Daytona 500 maybe just behind the Indy 500? Is that where it ranks or not?
Wow. You know, Bill, it's one of those, that's an excellent question. It's one of those kind of bucket list events that even if you are not a big motorsports fan, people still want to make it down there, just like, you know, the Kentucky Derby or like you said, the Indianapolis 500. Certainly it's the crown jewel. Some of the people in the sport say it's the Super Bowl of NASCAR, which is stock car racing. Some people kind of buck at that too. Darrell Waltrip, you know, a guy that we both know and love, said that he doesn't like to call it that because it implies that everything's downhill from there, and it's certainly not. But it is one of those transcendent events, and you look at, let's say, the Super Bowl, Kentucky Derby, things like that, where people have no business in and around the sport, you'll find them there.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see here for coming up on Sunday in the driver's meeting, you'll see, you know, politicians, you'll see Olympians, you'll see NFL players. The last time that I was here 2 years ago in the driver's meeting, I came with Guy, you know, our friend Guy Fieri from
sure.
He was there along with like Keanu Reeves and Owen Wilson and Brandon Marshall, who was, I think, with the Jets at the time. And so it's kind of a big blend of people. You never know who you'll run into.
A NASCAR fan doesn't look like a NASCAR fan anymore. My husband really kind of is, he's pretty into it.
Mm.
But looking at him, you would say, mm-hmm. hey, where's Zeppelin playing tonight, you know? And the fans have changed big time. The term NASCAR dad, I don't think applies anymore.
Oh, is that true, Dane?
I don't know. I mean, I think that they're trying to and maybe succeeding in a certain amount of areas to be more things to more people, you know, trying to be relevant to more people, certainly as the, you know, you've got a television package that extends nationally, you've got drivers, they've got the Drive for Diversity, which is a program to try to bring in just drivers from different kind of backgrounds, whether it's ethnic backgrounds or even just regional backgrounds, you know, so everybody isn't necessarily from the Southeast. And you see drivers now who kind of represent that, you know, California, East Coast, Joey Logano, who is the defending Monster Energy Cup Series guy, is an East Coast guy. And you see like Kevin Harvick's from Bakersfield, California. And so not everybody is from North Carolina, you know, or Daytona or lower like it used to be. So, yeah, I think I agree. I think they still want to keep that core of fans, but also kind of branch out and appeal to more people.
Sure.
It's a tough marketplace out there.
Yep. Well, promise me, Dane, on Sunday you'll put on plenty of sunscreen and plenty of Valvoline. Promise me.
Well, I will, but I'll be in. I'll be back in the Chicagoland area.
Still,
even show on Saturday.
Even if you're watching it on TV.
You never want melanoma to win the race.
Never,
that's right.
Never. Never.
Mel who?
He drives for Ray Hall.
Yes,
all right, let's take a break, and then Dane Neal is live with us at the scene of the Daytona 500, and he'll talk about special foods for Valentine's Day. That's coming up next. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN.
We're chatting with Dane Neal, and a big day tomorrow, Valentine's Day.
Oh, when you say it that way. Wow. So are there foods, Dane, that we should focus on, foods that will get you in what Wendy likes to call the mood?
Yes, she does. She's always saying that.
Yeah.
The here's the thing. As a parent, we don't always have as much time to, kind of plan out those romantic moments. But you still want to pay homage to Valentine's Day and make sure that you notice it and tell your special someone that you care about them and all that. And,
sure.
If you want to get down to, some of the restaurants, obviously Gejas, you can do fondue or GT Fish and Oyster Spiaggia. And I think one of the common themes is that the most romantic cuisines, whether you have them out or whether you have them at home, people are kind of gravitating away from American food, not burger and fries, and more towards French cuisine, Spanish cuisine, Italian cuisine, lean cuisine. Part of it is, I think, the ambiance is that, and I don't know if I read somewhere that, 90% of the dining experience has to do with, what's going on in the atmosphere around it. I don't know that statistic could be possible. So some people here at the start-finish line at Daytona might enjoy the ambiance of an air dryer, a track dryer going by. Or some might enjoy like a flamenco guitar and things like that. So I think you have to do, and this is another thing Wendy says all the time, set the mood.
Yes. Yep.
You guys, please.
We're burning all your secrets.
Yeah.
We're throwing away all your secrets. All right. So like for a couple like my wife and I, we eat out quite a bit. And we have found that Valentine's Day is it's a difficult night because it's hard getting a table in your better restaurants. It's a little more crowded. Everyone's a little more harried because of what's going on. What do you suggest?
Well, I suggest kind of creating that place at home. Either make some things that are fun, that you guys are fun or think are fun, or get to eat together, like I mentioned with the fondue, or maybe some small plates that you can, maybe pizza, right, that you can sort of eat it together. And you're thinking, well, our home, it's the place we live all the time. How can we make it kind of a separate romantic environment? Well, I saw here some people are doing this where they put a tent on the inside. Let's say you've got a fireplace or a wood-burning stove or maybe a kerosene heater. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. you can set a tent there, place some pictures, from the good times of you and your loved one, out doing, sharing an ice cream cone or riding a tandem bicycle or something like that, and then have your own little kind of place with a candle or something in a tent in the house while you're having sort of like a picnic style, a blanket on the floor kind of thing. I know it sounds hard, but it looked really great from the pictures. I'll send those to you as well. And then
never mind.
Friends...
Wow.
I mean, if the kids are out, that's one thing, but,
Yeah.
If this tents are rocking, go to the neighbor's house, kids.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
I hope it's
Dane,
in good.
Have you ever done that? I've heard about this, and I always think this is a really good idea, but I've never tried this before. Apparently, you can hire a chef to come to your house and do a complete meal right there in your house. Have you ever tried that?
I've set a lot of those things up for charity.
I've never
had someone come do that for me, but that is something that is... You can Google some of the different services that have it. I think there might be, I don't want to say it and not be right, but yes, there are a bunch of different services out there where almost like getting a Lyft driver, an Uber driver, or whatever, is you can find a chef that pairs with what it is that you want to eat that will come in, and the prices obviously vary. If you want the chef from White Castle to come bring your Castle Crave case in, it may be a little more reasonable. But yeah, you can definitely do that. It isn't the kind of thing that is just reserved for, a big celebrity like Elvis or Engelbert Humperdinck. People are doing that all the time. And a lot of chefs, they love it because it's an opportunity for them to get out.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy lifting. You're not doing somebody's wedding. It's just, you know,
that's a great idea,
maybe.
Bill.
It sounds like a good idea, but I'm curious, like, if you were to do something like that, you would also have to have the food prepared already to some extent. You'd have to go out and buy the food.
No, they'd probably bring it and just use your facilities.
Yep. Oh.
Here's the things that you can do. This is really great. Is you can everything from kind of vetting like you would your babysitter on some of those sites that would come over, is you can find the person that kind of fits with you or that you like the way that they cook or their styles or what they're great at. You'd fill out a thing. Oftentimes, let's say if there's some kind of dietary restrictions, you're allergic to this, you don't like that.
Yeah.
So you kind of get on the same page with things. You don't want to overthink it. You want to allow kind of that private chef to add their expertise, their flair, maybe a little opulence in. You don't want it all planned out, you know, like a birthday party
for
a kid.
Right.
And so they'll come in and surprise you and wow you, and there is no substitute. It's one thing, you know, we all think we're great cooks at home and, you know, and grilling, and we can do certain things. But to have a real, you know, professional chef come in to your own place and kind of, you know, do what it is that they do and then be able to spend that time with you because it's a very small kind of an intimate thing, it is really awesome. And it isn't that expensive. You can get it, you know, $500, maybe something, maybe even less, depending on what it is that you're doing.
Yeah. But I'm thinking if it's a chef that is pretty well known and successful,
you're
he
not
or she's
get
probably
them.
Working on Valentine's night, right?
You're not going to get a celebrity chef.
No?
You're going to get, like, you know, somebody from...
Well,
go ahead.
Anything is negotiable, but yeah, Wendy, you're right. The price would go up. If you want Emeril Lagasse to come and say bam in your own kitchen, I'm guessing it's probably
you'd pay for
pricey.
That. All right.
Yes.
All right.
And I forgot every Valentine's Day, I've got to remember this for tomorrow, we make heart-shaped pizzas at home. Mm-hmm. You just get pre-made dough at Trader Joe's or wherever you shop and mm-hmm. some pizza sauce, and then everybody gets to make their own heart-shaped pizza, and then you put on it what you want. Mm-hmm. So my kids love it, and we like it too. So that's happening tomorrow at our house.
Could I hire you, Wendy, to come to my house and make those for us?
Yes.
All right. For under $500?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
$4.99.
I'm in. Done deal.
Now, do you guys feel about, as far as like incorporating the family? Because, you know, we all say, you know, happy Valentine's Day, and we get Valentine's, and the kids make us stuff. But it isn't really, you know, obviously there was some romance involved at some point, right, just leading to the situation. But do you feel it's okay to, like, include... you know, the kids in it, or do you think it should be sort of a separate thing just with the couple?
When do you take this
My
one? What do you
feeling
think?
Is if your kids live at home, I think you include
part of
them.
It? Yeah.
If, you know, you're empty nesters, by all means,
wow. Mm.
That's what I'm saying. I am not an empty nester at this point. I don't think I'll ever be one.
Dane, we've done both. There have been years that my daughters are with us. There have been years where it's just been the two of us. And either way is good as far as I'm concerned.
I think the most important part is you set a little bit of time aside. If you are going to do it at home, you can control that ambiance a little bit. Put a dimmer switch on the light. Put on the Barry White,
right,
or whatever, or
and then
Leonard
pitch
Skinner
a tent.
If you're here.
Yes.
It's your tent. And like Wendy said, if the tent's rocking, don't
bother
don't
knocking.
Flap.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Right.
All right, so you'll be home in time for Valentine's Day, won't you, or will you still be on the road?
I'll be on the road, so we're going to do like a Skype Valentine Aww. Situation, or maybe just it'll be Valentine's observed, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'll be getting back, I think, Friday night, and then we'll be in studio Saturday, and we're going to talk a little bit of food and some Valentine's for sure, and then a heaping helping of kind of race preview stuff.
Any big guests from the Daytona 500 on with you on Saturday?
Well, we should have Kevin Harvick. We should have him on. Martin Truex Jr. should be on with us. You know, Bill, I know that you're an avid listener of the
yes.
program, so
yes.
there's big guests every week.
Always.
So it's hard to top the top, but it'll be great. And there's some cool stuff coming up, maybe a couple surprises.
Excellent.
I love surprises.
We'll be listening, Dane, from inside the Penske car on Saturday.
Nice. Good one,
Dane Neal's show, On the Road with Dane Neal, will be heard this Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on WGN Radio. Dane, have a good time out there. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Safe travels.
We'll take a little bit of a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.